Hit it.
Welcome to the Test Talks Podcast, the place to go to geek out on software testing. And now your host, whose mission is to help you succeed with test automation, Joe Colantonio.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Test Talks, a podcast dedicated to all things test automation related. I'm your host, Joe, from joecolantonio.com. And in today's episode, we're going to be learning all about PowerShell with the author of the Pluralsight course, PowerShell Toolmaking Fundamentals, Adam Bertram. But first, if you want to have real power with test automation, check out Sauce Labs. Today's episode is sponsored by Sauce Labs. Sauce Labs makes test automation awesome. Sauce's cloud-based Selenium Grid helps developers test web and mobile apps across more than 400 browser and OS platforms. Sauce also supports Appium and popular JavaScript unit testing frameworks and integrates with all the top programming languages, test frameworks, and CI systems. With built-in video recording, debugging tools, and secure tunneling for firewall testing, Sauce helps you ship better software faster. Sign up at saucelabs.com with promo code TESTTALKS14 and get 20 hours of automated testing for free. So, let's be honest. How often have you found yourself doing a long, manual, repetitive administrative task on Windows and thinking there has to be a better way? Well, you're right. And PowerShell may be exactly what you're looking for. So don't be a click next admin. Listen to Adam in this episode, the author of the Pluralsight PowerShell Toolmaking Fundamentals course, as he shares a bunch of tips on using PowerShell to automate the drudgery of some Windows-based tasks. I think you're really going to enjoy this episode, so check it out. Hey, Adam. Welcome to Test Talks.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Awesome. So before we get started, can you just tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. My name is Adam Bertram. I've been in the IT space for about 17 years now. Been doing a lot of Microsoft system administration. You're here recently within the past, maybe 5 years or so. I started really doing a lot of automation and scripting. Started off with Bash files a long, long time ago. Got into VBScript, and now I'm doing a whole lot of PowerShell. So I started doing messing with PowerShell since V1, so since Monad, and ever since then I've been just doing a whole lot of automation and scripting, and pretty much automating everything I can find.
Awesome. Sounds great. So today I'd like to go over your awesome Pluralsight PowerShell Toolmaking Fundamentals course. But for someone that doesn't know, at a high level, what is PowerShell?
Windows PowerShell is a scripting language, a command prompt replacement and a scripting language that was designed and built by Jeffrey Snover. I believe it was in, 5 or 6 years ago. So he saw an opportunity that Windows didn't have a really good automation language. And so he decided to create this Windows PowerShell language. If anybody's familiar with the VBScript language, they know it was extremely difficult to understand and to write the code in, so Windows PowerShell came along. Windows PowerShell is a way to not only automate, but also to manage various Microsoft products, so Windows, SQL Server, Active Directory, pretty much everything from the command line, and also to as a sort of a scripting glue, I guess you could say, to automate entire infrastructures. So for example, if you wanted to, a common example of using PowerShell is to onboard new employees in an organization. So that's one of the tools I have in my toolmaking course, so where PowerShell can grab user information from a SQL database, for example, put it in a text file, or query Active Directory, make changes to Active Directory to create users, that sort of thing. So there's a lot of, it's kind of acts as the glue also to bring multiple products together so you can pretty much create an automated solution.
Awesome. So it sounds like, is it basically a replacement for VBScript? And also, I think in your course, you said it should replace your normal cmd.exe?
Yes, it has all the functionality that your normal cmd.exe has, yes.
So do you know in Windows 10 if PowerShell stays the same? So if someone was to learn PowerShell against Windows 7 or Windows 8.1, do you know if there's anything else that they'll need to know for Windows 10?
Nope, not necessarily. My course was built around PowerShell version 4. PowerShell version 4 comes installed by default on Windows 8 and 8.1, and you can get it. You can upgrade to PowerShell V4 on Windows 7, but on Windows 10, I believe PowerShell V5 comes installed on that. But no, for the most part, anything in my course, I don't go into a whole lot of advanced language concepts. It's just about using the basic fundamentals and tools of PowerShell to build organizational-wide tools from that.
I'm a big believer in using the right tool for the right job. So when would you use PowerShell over something like, say, Python or Perl?
Well, PowerShell is a Microsoft product, so I have to say that pretty much any time you want to use the command line or automate anything inside of the Windows ecosystem, or pretty much any Microsoft product, you want to go with PowerShell. PowerShell has support for nearly every Microsoft product. So, for example, let's say you want to automate Active Directory. The Active Directory team at Microsoft creates what's called a PowerShell module, and in this module contains various commands, or in PowerShell terms, they call them commandlets, that allow you to do things like create a user, create a computer. So you type new-ad user, new-ad computer. Everything is objectified. So in SQL Server, you want to create a new database. It's like new SQL database, set SQL database. So definitely anything in the Microsoft world, because Microsoft has built the tools, built the modules around all these products already to handle a lot of this. Now, you could use other languages to manage Microsoft tools, so with Python or Ruby or something like that, but you would have to query the native API, so you would pretty much have to reinvent the wheel and mimic exactly what those PowerShell commands are already doing in order to get that same functionality.
So in your course, why can I not say PowerShell? It reminds me of a heavy metal band for some reason. I'm going to say
yeah.
PowerShell. All right, so in your course, PowerShell Toolmaking Fundamentals course, you go over a lot of examples using PowerShell for Active Directory and log files. So is it safe to say this is really, I guess you just said, it's really handy for sysadmin type things?
Yep, definitely. All this is definitely handy for sysadmin and IT pros. I've been an IT pro my entire career. I've dabbled a little bit in development, but I haven't done a whole lot with it. This course is all about system administrators and IT professionals that just going about their day-to-day, and they're repeating themselves over and over again, doing the same thing. So I just picked three examples for the different tools in the course. So in my experience, it's been a common example is automating Active Directory account management, so provisioning new users. Another one is the Log Investigator tool that I go into of querying event logs and querying text files on multiple servers. And then finally, the third tool was the File and Folder Management Automator tool, which goes into detail of getting NTFS permission on file systems, setting NTFS permission, setting inheritance, and all that sort of thing. So I picked, PowerShell is extremely broad, but I tried to pick some three common uses of PowerShell that I would use into creating, going from A to Z, building these actual packaged tools, I guess, if you will.
Awesome. Yeah, and I really enjoyed the log section where you talk about how to use PowerShell to read in logs. It's really a real-world example, and it's really helpful. For example, you know, when I do automation testing using a browser, and if there's a crash, it's kind of hard to find out what happened sometimes. But you showed an example that reads in all your event logs and other types of logs and timestamping them to be able to really kind of pinpoint things that may have been going on in your environment when the crash occurred during the test. So I thought that was really helpful.
Oh, good. Yeah, definitely. With that one, this course is more of an advanced beginner, I guess, to a beginning intermediate course. PowerShell has the full capabilities of the .NET framework, so there's a lot of other things you get into for searching log files. Like you can use regular expressions all you want. So there's a nice select string commandlet that you can use to really get as advanced and really build an advanced tool that you want. The premise of this course was a fundamentals course, so I just kind of wanted to introduce people to the basic concepts of tools. And here coming up, I hope to create a more advanced course that kind of goes into more of those advanced concepts.
Very cool. So what would you say are these key concepts someone needs to know to get started with PowerShell?
Well, first of all, the very first reason to get into PowerShell, how to get into PowerShell, is first realize that you need PowerShell. Believe it or not, I've seen people, IT professionals and system administrators out there, that they don't like change. They want to stick with the same way they've been doing, perhaps what Jeffrey Snover calls the click next admin. They just want to go through their GUIs and click next and install software and do everything the manual way without really ever even considering the advantages of automating. There's still a lot of people out there that are really just stuck in their ways and don't want to use PowerShell. As I started doing more Pluralsight courses and doing a lot of blogging and writing articles and that sort of thing, really the core premise around what I'm doing is to just get people just to start using it, just to start playing with it and just getting started. So once you actually get past that hump, if a person is watching this Pluralsight course or maybe listening to this podcast, those people are probably over that hump already. The next thing I say is, get a book, get some introductory course. There's a lot of free stuff out there. So even if you don't have a Pluralsight subscription, I highly recommend you do. But if you don't have a Pluralsight subscription, there's a lot of like Microsoft Virtual Academy tools out there from Jason Helmick, Jeffrey Snover, Don Jones. There is a ton of great PowerShell content out there to get started with.
Great. I think you hit on a really good point that this isn't like test automation. This helps you actually automate day-to-day things that you may do that you're manually doing now. And just by automating will save you maybe hours or minutes a day. And then over time, that really adds up. So I think it's really powerful to look at things that you may be doing manually and see if there's a way to automate it. And with PowerShell, if it's something that's Windows-based administration or sysadmin typey thing, it definitely looks like the perfect tool for it.
Yep, and actually, PowerShell can be used for even full-fledged software development. I've seen some tools out there that use PowerShell to actually build actual software. So PowerShell has the entire .NET framework to work with. So you can build Windows Forms, WPF. You can build actual GUIs around PowerShell and use PowerShell in the background. In fact, Microsoft Exchange Server runs anything that runs in the GUI is actually just running PowerShell commands in the background. So it can actually be used for full software development as well.
What is toolmaking? What's the difference? What's the difference that you see between a script and a tool?
Yep. Well, toolmaking, the term toolmaking was coined, I believe, by Don Jones. He has a companion book loosely related to this called PowerShell Toolmaking in a Month of Lunches. And this book, which I coined the term off of, goes into the fact that, well, in PowerShell, you can be used for a lot of things. When you're just getting started, perhaps you're just using it in a command prompt. So you're doing a DIR or renaming a file, setting a permission on an individual file. But once you kind of get past the hump of learning the syntax, learning kind of how it works, you get to the point to where, I want a little bit more out of this than just a command line replacement. Perhaps you've built a script that does maybe a 10 or 20 line script that doesn't really do a whole lot, but it kind of fit the need at the time. Tools, PowerShell tools, are sort of considered not sort of the next step. So that they're not actually software packages per se, but it's more of a solution. So just to give you an example, the tool number one of the course is the Active Directory Account Management Automator tool. And this is an actual tool that I had built in a previous position that solved a specific problem. We needed a way, we didn't have any automated way to get new employees onboarded, so we didn't have a way to get them a new computer account set up, a new user account, a new home folder, all that stuff that goes on with onboarding a new user, that hasn't happened yet. So what that tool was an overall solution to the problem, not just a one-off. So I wouldn't consider a tool as a script that creates an Active Directory user. I wouldn't consider a tool that sets permission on one or even multiple, you know, 10 or 20 folders, that sort of thing. A tool is actually an entire package solution, I guess, if you will, to solve a big problem.
Awesome. So I did go through the course, but I went through it very quickly. So I thought there were three steps almost. You had a script and then a tool. And I think the last one was a module. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. And the tool is a loose concept here. But as I kind of went from the most basic to the most advanced in this course, I went from the console, how do you get around in the console? Once you're comfortable with the console, you know, as a command line replacement, as a cmd.exe replacement, then you kind of eventually progress into a script where you start kind of combining those commands together in the script. And then after you start combining in the small scripts, then you sort of advance to this tool phase where you build these entire solutions at a time. And then kind of after you build these tools, which I'm considering this a tool is just it's a very loose concept, but it can be a PS1 file. So every time you create a PowerShell script, it's in a PS1 file. And PowerShell has the concept of modules, which a module in its basic sense is just a PSM1 file. So it's just a text file with a different extension. And inside of this PowerShell module, you have the PowerShell functions, which can do, you know, anything you want. So I gave an example in the course of just building introduction to the modules and just building a module from all these tools. So for example, in the Active Directory one, for example, you may have a module that says provision new employee. And inside of that function, you may have multiple helper functions. So really a module is all about a grouping of PowerShell functions that solve a like-minded problem.
Cool. So would you say it's a way to, you can almost use it almost to help you organize and share your PowerShell scripts?
Yep. It's definitely, modules are a great way of compartmentalizing all of the same general function that you have. So the Active Directory Automator module, the Log Investigator module, or the File and Folder Management Automator tool in here, all those can be individual modules. And once you kind of have all that wrapped up in a nice package in a module, then it's just a matter of saying import module in a console and you have all those functions available. And at the same time, it's also a great way to actually just do what you said, is to share code. So you don't want to just give somebody a bunch of PSM1 scripts and say, here, try to figure out how all these work together. If you have everything built into a module, you can just give them a PSM1 file and say, here, put this in a common location on your computer, just run import-module and then the name of it. And then once you do that, everything comes into the current run space and you have all those functions available.
Very cool. What's the tool that you write your PowerShell scripts in? Is it a PowerShell IDE?
Yep, there's a few script editors out there. The one that comes with PowerShell is called the PowerShell ISE. It's actually very good in the box already. It comes with IntelliSense, comes with the syntax highlighting and everything you'd expect into with a general IDE. There's other tools out there, such as Sapien Technologies has a PowerShell Studio IDE, which kind of takes it to the next level. So this IDE has all the same functionality that the PowerShell ISE has, but it also includes a nice functionality in there where you can create forms, so you can have the drag and drop WYSIWYG functionality, create forms and buttons and everything like that. Also with the PowerShell Studio, you have debugging techniques. There's a lot more advanced debugging things in the PowerShell Studio. That, and there's another one called ISE Steroids, which I started using recently, which kind of is kind of came from a community effort. The Sapien product is more of a corporate product, but ISE steroids product kind of came from the community. So it's a bolt-on, an add-on to the PowerShell ISE. So it has a lot of time-saving things like, you know, debugging. It has some refactoring functionality in there, along with all the standard functionality that the default PowerShell ISE has.
Very cool. So are there any other tools that you use that you think everyone, it's a must-have if you're going to be doing hardcore PowerShell scripting?
Well, if you're a beginner or intermediate, even advanced users really don't need anything else besides the PowerShell ISE. The only reason you would use a product like ISE steroids is just if you're tired of doing repetitive coding or you need some more advanced debugging things. Another reason to use the Sapien's PowerShell Studio is if you want to start building Windows forms. So you've been building scripts for yourself, but maybe you want to provide some functionality to your users that you don't want to have to go into the PowerShell console and say, type this command to do this thing. So you can build nice GUIs inside of the PowerShell Studio to provide a user, say, instead of type this, you know, click this button, drag this, you know, that sort of thing, kind of give a front end to your scripts.
Cool. So, and I should have looked this up. Do you know if it integrates with Visual Studio at all to do something like that?
Yep. There's also a product from Adam Driscoll called Posh Tools, I believe, that integrates inside of Visual Studio. So by default, Visual Studio doesn't necessarily understand PowerShell code. So you can open it up. It'll just be just a normal text editor. So you don't have the syntax highlighting and all the stuff that comes with an IDE. But I believe it's called Posh Tools that you can run as a plugin to Visual Studio, which kind of gives you a very similar functionality as the PowerShell ISE does.
So I just want to go back to the log file example you have in your course. I just think it's important. I think everyone probably deals with log files all the time, so it's a functionality that everyone can understand. Are there any tips you have for using PowerShell to interact with log files, maybe to keep it quicker so it's not, you know, very slow if you're dealing with lots of logs?
Yep, there's some different ways to do that, especially, just like you say, when you're dealing with large log files. The built-in commandlets, such as git content, is really good at reading text files. But if you get into the text files that are hundreds of megs or maybe even gigs, it will generally fall flat on its face because it tries to read the entire text file into memory, and it just does not work well. There's other, when you get more advanced, which I may include in the next course, you dive into the .NET framework. So you can use the system.file.fileinfo or something like that. So you can actually use the read all method. I can't remember what the name of it was, but it essentially doesn't bring in the entire text file into memory at the same time. It just kind of, you can read it in chunks. So it's a lot more efficient that way to do enormous text files because you'll just want to bash your head against the desk if you use git content. So yeah, that's one of the beauties of PowerShell. If the basic stuff isn't working for you, you always have the .NET framework. So if you know enough about that, you can generally always find an object or a set of methods that'll do what you want to do.
Are there anything you see over and over again that in your experience most people using PowerShell are doing wrong?
A lot of people in PowerShell are doing wrong because they may have come from batch files or VBScript or some other language, and they tend to write code like the other language. So like I came from PHP. I did a lot of PHP scripting. So I tried to do everything in PowerShell the same way I did it in PHP, which it'll work in PowerShell, but you don't take advantage of everything that PowerShell has to offer, such as the PowerShell pipeline, for example. So that's the most prevalent action that I see that people are doing is you can tell that somebody coming from Ruby or somebody coming from PHP or from Python or C#, you'll see very similar code structures in there, and they get by with it because it'll work. Because when PowerShell was developed, it was developed for some backward compatibility with CMD.exe its structure is similar to a lot of languages, so you can get away with that. But it's not necessarily taking advantage of everything that PowerShell can do.
I can just imagine these scripts getting really hard to maintain over time. So any tips on how to make the scripts so they're going to be more maintainable and more reliable if you have to update them?
Yep. It is all about creating. I just had a blog post on this not too long ago. It's all about, just like software developers do, you create code to be reusable. You don't create your code to, even though you may be solving a specific problem at the time, I could write, if I wanted to, I could have written a single PS1 script to do this entire course. But that's not necessarily going to let me pick up the script, go to another environment, and use it there. There's going to be a lot of parameters and variables in there that are going to be different. So a really good mindset to have is just keep everything reusable and keep everything as generic as possible. And then if you want to make it a bit more specific, use parameters. I also want to mention the Pester project. So developers are used to testing, unit tests, functional tests, that sort of thing. A lot of, before you put the code in production, you're going to test it. It's test-driven development. There's a project out there called Pester. It was a community project that Microsoft recently brought into the code base in Windows 10 and PowerShell. So PowerShell has a testing framework called Pester that actually allows you to write actual unit tests around your PowerShell scripts to ensure they're reliable, and then if you modify something, you're not going to break it. So that's one area that it's still pretty new. You know, a lot of these PowerShell guys are like, you know, they're just maybe hardcore system administrators that, this developer stuff, I don't like it sort of thing. So they don't like, I don't know what this test-driven development thing is. But you're starting to see more of the progressive people, the progressive IT professionals kind of come over to kind of blur the line a little bit between system administration and software development.
All right. So, Adam, the name of your site is Adam the Automator. So what else do you cover on your blog besides PowerShell?
Well, on my blog, I cover a lot of PowerShell. So I cover a lot of scripts. I share scripts on the blog. I share a lot of just general advice on things that I see people doing wrong or what people should be doing a little bit better on. I also share a lot of career advice. I've been doing this IT thing for, 17 years or so now, and I've been in a lot of positions, and as I progress in my career, I've learned kind of what works and what doesn't. So I also share just general career advice for anybody really in the IT space.
Cool. So are you a contractor, a consultant? Do you work for a company right now?
Well, actually, until last week, I was a full-time employee. I was a consultant for a while. And actually, as of last week, I'm now an independent contractor. So now I do PowerShell consulting. I also do my Pluralsight course. I do a lot of articles, magazine articles, webinars, and that sort of thing. So I'm an independent consultant as of very recently.
Well, I guess congratulations on your freedom, I guess, now. That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks. So far, it's going well, but time will tell. But hopefully, I don't feel like I was jumping off the pier into the water, hoping the water was deep enough. You know, like I mentioned before, the general premise around what I'm doing, I can talk to just about anybody with PowerShell of all levels. But the niche that I'm really passionate about is introducing beginners to PowerShell, whether a beginner to be a advanced software developer in C#, or just maybe a help desk technician just graduating college and may getting started in their IT career. My passion is around evangelizing PowerShell, showing people how having an automation mindset is crucial to your IT career.
Awesome. Yeah, I could tell you're very passionate about PowerShell. So do you have anything in the works for other Pluralsight courses or books that are really going to help beginners get started with PowerShell?
Yeah, well, nothing is official yet, but I do have an informal plan. They're already trying to get me to do a more advanced PowerShell tool-making course, which I've had a few requests for that, and I am going to plan on doing that, but there's nothing in the works yet. Other than Pluralsight course coming up, I do a I do monthly articles for Tom's IT Pro, mcpmag.com. I do some security articles for PowerShell at the Netrix blog. And there's really a lot of, I do a lot of things. If anybody interested in some of the any other activities that I have going on, they can go to my blog at adamtheautomator.com, and I have a work portfolio section in there where they can click on and see kind of everything I've got going on.
Adam, before we go, is there one piece of actionable advice you can give someone trying to learn PowerShell or improve their PowerShell efforts? And let us know the best way to find or contact you.
I would say the most important piece of advice I could give someone to starting Windows PowerShell is to think of PowerShell as a tool in and of itself. And what I mean by that is that it's not necessarily the best way to do everything. For example, me, myself, I tend to, you know, have my PowerShell hammer and everything is a nail. And one point that I tend to stress to other people is PowerShell is a tool, but it's not necessarily the tool to use for everything. Now, the PowerShell for an IT professional is a crucial skill to have. So I definitely recommend keeping that in your tool set. That should be one of the skills that an IT professional or even a developer needs to have to advance their career. But what I've also seen is other people trying to use it in too many places to solve problems to where they could have simply just brought up a GUI and said, just click once and was done with it. PowerShell is meant to automate things. So things that tasks that you're doing over and over and over again and that sort of thing. So it's not necessarily meant to do one-off instances like, you know, you have to click next twice in a machine, in a window, and you'll never have to do it again. Best way to contact me, I'm on Twitter at A.D. Bertram. That's B-E-R-T-R-A-M. I'm on Twitter all the time. Respond to people on Twitter. We talk all the time at the community. I also blog at adamtheautomator.com, where I try to put a blog post up there, you know, every week or so. But yeah, Twitter and my blog are the two best ways to get a hold of me.
Thank you, Adam, for your PowerShell automation awesomeness. For links to everything of value that we talked about in this episode, head on over to testtalks.com/57. And while you're there, make sure to click on the More Info link under the exclusive sponsor section to learn all about Sauce Labs and their awesome products and services. And I would really appreciate it if you went and left a review on iTunes. They go a long way in exposure and helping new people come along to see that this show is worthwhile. And honestly, it helps me stay motivated and learn what's working and, more importantly, what's not working. So that's it for this episode of Test Talks. I'm Joe, and my mission is to help you succeed with test automation awesomeness. As always, test everything and keep the good. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Test Talks podcast. Head on over to www.testtalks.com for full show notes, amazing blog articles, and other automation awesomeness.